Welcome to Know Your Rights, a music podcast from two guys who know just enough about songwriting to start a podcast about.
Follow Rob
and Colton
as each week we dive into a different band or songwriter and discuss what makes them great,
okay, or otherwise.
Music is law,
and we know our rights. Welcome,
everybody.
That can't be it, but we did it.
It's
very it. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Happy. Are we denominational? Yeah. Or are we? I don't know. We never decided.
Well, we both agreed that we celebrate Christmas. Yeah. But for anybody who celebrates anything else, fucking have a good time.
Have a good time. We're sorry that we could do like a non-denominational holiday song draft next year. And
yes.
See how it goes. We could do it.
My mom has been playing Christmas music since the day after Halloween.
I was upset by that. Not your mom specifically. That came off wrong. I'm upset by your mom doing that. No, but the day on our way home, we went over to Casey's aunt's house for Halloween to have dinner. On our way home that night, I saw like 20 different households with their Christmas lights up. And I was thinking, Halloween's body isn't even cold yet. Okay. And they just flock in.
I agree. If anything, what is it? I apologize for the listener, but
Dias de los Muertos?
Yes, sir. Give that a fucking day before we dive into fucking Christmas tunes. No,
it's right into Christmas.
Yeah.
And I
love Christmas songs. I'm in the day after Thanksgiving. That's when it starts. Can we agree on that?
I dipped a little earlier into Christmas songs than usual, partly because of this upcoming, episode. But also, we know from last year's episode, everybody, Peanuts, a Charlie Brown Christmas is my like go-to. And I've like slowly moved it into my rotation of morning songs. Like I listen to jazz usually in the morning anyway. And it's just a nice kind of transition. But also, there's no there's no Thanksgiving song, right? Just Christmas songs.
I mean, honestly, the Peanuts, Charles Schulz did a good job of making a Thanksgiving thing.
It's true. It's funny. It's on a Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack. They have the like Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So it's there.
There's an acknowledgement, but yeah.
We digress, everybody, because
I continue to digress. Actually,
I mean, this whole episode will be the digression, but
this is going to be rough, everybody. We don't know exactly how to approach this.
We do. It's just,
I hope you all enjoyed Caroline Polachek.
At this point you've heard it and you have heard that episode.
That is a good episode.
It is out in the world. And I really like talking to you about that. And that it really is a kind of nice, we'll say, final regular episode of the year. We have our holiday episode, and then next episode is our New Year's Eve episode.
I have no idea what's coming up.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, you don't know everything. You know half the things.
I sincerely don't know half the things.
Wow. Well, this is exciting. But
we're doing it.
We're doing our annual Christmas episode, which for us means we are going to do our annual, at this point, we can say it, right?
Yeah.
Christmas song draft.
Hell yeah.
Put together
this isn't
by...
gonna stop. This ain't going to stop. We also got Culturabis right after this. So
goodness. And then we are... And now, last year, we took our two favorite Christmas records, right? Which was Pretty Paper.
Willie. I love you, Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. And at the aforementioned Charlie Brown Christmas.
Yeah. I have to say, actually, the Willie Nelson album, right when I was waking up the day after Thanksgiving, bad boy was playing in the background, and it was wonderful and fitting.
And I like it too. You know, you've introduced to me a new Christmas record to just kind of put in my little cycle. I don't have a huge, you're about to find out in this Christmas draft, I actually have a relatively low tolerance for a lot of Christmas music. So if it's in my circle, I get happy.
I get excited. Like I said, after Thanksgiving, I'm all in on Christmas music. And that's why what we're about to draft from is a better list, because Colton chose the one last year and I chose this year. And I think There's two things.
No, go on, please.
You can vote on who wins on this draft and also on who put forth the best Christmas songs to draft from.
Yeah, you're trying to find multiple ways to beat me, but I don't know if I agree. We'll talk about it. I'm interested. So
you do agree.
We are in the second half of our episode. We should just say we're going to talk about A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh, man.
The film/musical.
And for anybody who tunes in, this is something I don't say that often, but I love The Muppets.
I'll go ahead and say I don't think you've ever said it. No, you've said it once before. And
I think I have.
The end of the Caroline Polachek episode.
And probably it. Last year during the Christmas episode.
Possibly.
There might have been a way that I snuck it in there, but I love me some Muppets. They're wonderful. No,
it was, I told you I tried to stay fresh. We haven't done a movie ever with songs mixed in, but I wanted to be as fresh as possible. So I woke up early this morning. I watched it. I was absorbing as much Muppet time as I could. I'm ready to talk to you about it in whatever way we deem fit to talk about it. We'll find it. But
yeah, this is jazz, baby.
I'm trying to get more Christmassy. It's hard because this is early. We are recording this and it is literally December 1st.
It is.
I still have a week and change left to teach. I have a mountain of grading, but I'm trying to let this podcast take me away.
See, I don't like the scholastic approach to this because like school is what represents for you. That's what represents it's Christmas time. For me, I'm just like, I'm going to have to work. I get Christmas off, but I mean, I have to work all the way up and through it.
So
Christmas starts today.
Listener, enjoy yourself. Do when you're listening to this, maybe you got the fire going. You got your. I just said chestnuts. I mean, I like chestnuts.
Why not chestnuts? Chestnuts roasting on open fire. In fact, actually, last Christmas you tried to apply that to Halloween. No, it was during the Halloween episode. You tried to apply it to Halloween. Not how it works, dude.
But I think I had chestnuts last Halloween. It was very good. I want to tell you.
You also, did it the wrong time.
R.I.P. Bob Breyer. I don't know. Did you see that?
I think
drummer of the My Chemical Romance.
I didn't know that. No. Oh.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Dude. Merry Christmas.
Who apparently had already left the band and had become a right wing conspiracy.
Well, if he already left the band, then whatever.
Well, he was kicked out. Apparently, he went down a hard, weird road.
Oh shit! All right. Well, Merry Christmas.
We could probably cut this out. I thought of it and I was like, I just have to share that with Rob. I don't know why.
We're all about the RIPs.
We have figured out how to do this draft. We have done a very Byzantine way of figuring out who's going to pick first. I believe it is me.
Can we go over how we decided this?
Okay, let's do it. You tell me, what was the first way that we did three? It was best of three.
My idea was a coin toss, something football related. So I was just like, yeah, that's perfect. And then your wife had a better approach to it, was who can name the most states within, mm-hmm. what was it, two
well,
minutes?
I gave us a two-minute period, which seems rude.
Not fair. Not fucking fair.
But I did win that.
You did win.
And
but I also narrated as I was writing it. So yeah, I was actually very entertaining.
The whole point is that each of us listed as many states as we could in 2 minutes. And as I was doing it, I just heard you over the phone going, New Hampshire.
Let me go with the news. Let me go with the news. I'm going to try to do this in alphabetical order.
What was your number? You never told me. You just said it was less than my number.
Yeah, it was like yours was 31, right?
Yeah, 31.
Yeah, so I was at 30.
son of a God.
But on the plus side, I made you and your wife laugh, which that warmed my soul.
So you did lose that one, but then you did win the coin. We didn't have a coin available, so I did a simulated coin toss via the interweb.
And I called heads and I won it. And Colton tried to lie to me.
I did. I was like, it'll be easier if I just slip a little mistruth, maybe. And then what was our third? I honestly don't remember what our third.
Me either. I have no idea what the third. Well, Colton won the third one.
No, it was. It was the Lakers and Warriors. They both lost their last game because they're both in big skids.
And the Warriors scored more. Yes. Yeah. Just like last year.
I just want to say for the record, this is not sports time, everybody. But the whole opening of the NBA season, people going, wow, the Warriors are for real. I didn't buy it for a second because I have seen them play. most of those games, and none of it looked great.
You know what sucks is a lot of people were saying the same thing about the Lakers. I'm wearing a Lakers hat, and I'm just like, yeah, let's give it time.
But also, can we say a quick thing? Blake Snell, baby.
Blake's fucking Snell. Blake fucking Snell. All right, dude. Colter Robbins.
You thought that sports talk was done. It's not done.
Yeah, dude.
And Tommy Edman.
Tommy Edman? We got him for five years, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, dude, it's amazing. Actually, I said Colter Robbins, but we got to let it burn because the Grammys haven't shown up and the Lakers are still in the NBA Cup.
I'm ready for one. I'm trying to keep it music-oriented.
All right.
I'm trying to keep it music-oriented.
All right.
All right.
Hate it to me.
Colter Robbins. See, do I have to do something we can figure out by the end of the year? I don't think I can.
No, dude. We have predictions for the Grammys. Like, just go for it, baby.
Yeah. My Nintendo Switch just ate it down to the ground. That ain't great.
That was what I was going to call to Robbins. Damn it.
This thing work? Okay, it's working. Okay.
We're live. We're live.
We're live, everybody. We're fine. We're fine. All right. My Colter Robbins. Trying to think. There's a band. I'm trying to think of a band that's going to release a new record in 2025 that has not released one in a long time.
Okay.
I believe.
I want in on this too. All right, let me think.
Survive will put. They will reunite. I think they are currently disbanded. They will reunite. They'll put out a new record in 2025. It will sound like the other five records they've put out recently.
Blue Sky Noise doesn't sound anything like Juturna or
But everything after Blue Sky Noise. I mean, there's a Circus Survive record or episode somewhere in the future, but that's been my biggest qualm with them is that I think at some point it just started to the fact that they never used anyone other than that one artist to do all their cover albums to me felt very fitting. But they will come out with a new record in 2025. It will use that same cover artist. And it'll be okay.
All right. Then I got a Colter Robbins as well.
Okay.
Tool will not release an album for the next 7 years.
Wow. So we got to come back to this. Yeah. I think we're going to have to start keeping track of these Colter Robbins predictions. I don't think we're doing it in the spirit that you intended.
Yeah, it's fun.
I'm one for one.
I'm one for going on. I'm one for. I have one as well.
Can I give you a quick little uncle story moving into the holiday season before we do our Christmas draft?
Of course, dude. We're trying to kill time.
I'm trying to figure out if this breaks the rules of like Christmas shopping because we're gonna put this out on the internet, but we have time.
Yeah,
let's make sure my niece doesn't hear this. I don't think she knows this podcast exists, but
it's past your bedtime.
We are shopping for my nieces for Christmas, and my sister Kim told us that
love you Kim
Santa Claus, let's say, is getting my niece a vinyl record player.
That's awesome.
10 years old, and I was very excited by this, and she was like, so she probably wants vinyl, and you know how exciting is that? I'm gonna get my niece a vinyl record.
Of course. Yeah.
And then she said these are the people she's looking at Taylor Swift and someone I am not familiar with, Shawn Mendes.
I know who that is, but yeah, I'm not familiar.
That's a name that I am so vaguely familiar with that it's like, it's more, I think I see headlines of him dating people and it's like, oh, Shawn Mendes, this. Yeah. And I've never heard anything about him. Well, but
zero part of you has to feel like, oh yeah, that's a vinyl that you need to have.
But this is my niece and it's her, you know, this is her, like her collection. This is her building her collection up. And I'm sound like I was very rational. I was not. I was very like, I'm not getting her any of this. What are you talking about? And I'm already looking at what other weird records I could get her. And I was like, oh, she'll like Tom Petty. Why not?
Yeah. Well, and you already know what I suggest.
What's that?
Get her Let It Be. Let It Be, maybe Abbey Road.
But this is the whole part of the gift giving, right? And this is something I had to grow out of, where you get gifts for people, things that you want them to like versus things that they will actually like. I think that's like a lesson we all have to learn, right? In giving gifts. And
nope, fuck that. I'm trying to shape everybody around me. This is all for me. I am the most selfish Christmas gift giver.
See, I can't now. It's all about, like, I just want to get someone something that they will not just have to throw away, because we all have stuff. It's like lots of things.
Oh, for sure.
It's wanting it to feel like less. Anywho.
Well, are we getting into the materialism of Christmas? Because this could be dangerous.
It's not, but I will. So I believe we're getting her Shawn Mendes, even though I heard Shawn Mendes. And what's it? His newest record came out. It's called Shawn. And he.
Oh, yeah.
It's.
Yeah, I listen to it a lot.
Why is the single, if you want to play it while I'm talking. Why? Because I was trying to say, okay, if this is what we're getting my niece, I got to okay this. And man, we couldn't do it. I could not do it.
It's you couldn't okay it? So she's awful. Not getting it? She's getting nothing?
Not only is it like him shirtless on the cover, on the album cover, like just
okay.
If you're of that ilk and you know that your fan base is like preteen girls, I don't know. It's a weird thing to me. I agree.
It's a little bit of that Britney Spears.
It is. Oh, that's like the flip flop too, because she was underage also, right? And like selling herself to, but it's
schoolgirl outfit
being sold to, I guess. The Shawn Mendes thing, he's bad, man. Like I was trying to find something, I got nothing. And when I read about that record, I was curious, and he's like, oh yeah, my influence is going into this record, I wanted to be a folk, so my influence was Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell. I was like, oh okay, that's
sure
fine.
Sure it is.
I hate that so much. It's bad.
And I think he is actually talented, just he directs his talents.
In what part?
Well, he's skilled at music, but he directs his music towards.
No, I have to stop this.
Preteens.
What part of the music is he skilled at?
His voice sounds fine. He's not a bad singer. He plays guitar, man. Right?
I can't. I know it's all positivity.
I agree with you. I'm just trying
Fuck that guy. That's it. That's all I got to say.
Merry, merry, everybody. All right, let's get into.
Yeah. I need to draw a line somewhere. I can't be understanding with everyone.
It's all right. I'm not going to fight you anymore on this. The time has come, everybody.
Oh my God, it's time for a Christmas draft.
It's time for a Christmas draft.
Here we are. I'm gonna give us the list of songs. Let's get it out there. So number one, we have, and you have artist specific, by the way. I'm gonna give him your artist, but I am picking just the song.
All right, fine. If you want to give my artist specific,
"Rockin' Round the Christmas Tree" by Brenda Lee. That's number one.
What other version would we listen to?
That is true. I can't think of any others. I literally don't know if any others exist. Feliz Navidad.
What other artists are we going to talk about?
Jose Feliciano. That's very good. Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys.
Yeah. What other artists?
Yep. These are pretty artist specific. I will tell. I'll give you that. Yeah. I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, Don't They Esta Santa Claus? It's the name of the artist. Who else?
Yeah. But the next song is Don't They Esta Santa Claus.
Don't They Esta by Augie Rios.
Mm-hmm.
Run Rudolph Run by Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry, again, artist specific.
You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Thurl Ravenscroft and Boris.
I mean, the dude Carlisle. Who did, there was like that internet sensation.
Chocolate Rain.
Yeah, Chocolate Rain. He did a cover of that.
Yeah, I've actually heard it. I remember he like was linking it to like a critique of capitalism. Like he said it right before. He was like,
did he?
Yeah, it was bad. It was weird.
Get the fuck out of here.
I think we're both drawing our lines in the sand today. This is our, I like it. Don't give away
my next one.
You want it?
Yeah. Carol of the Bells. Mm-hmm. That's a very classic song. They're like, hark, hill the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say ding dong. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But now, wait, I'm not allowed to say who it is.
All right, by Mr. Mackey.
The school counselor, everybody. I was happy to hear it was not the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
That one's kind of cool, though.
We'll talk about it. When we get to it, we'll talk about it. I think that's fair. I'll Be Home for Christmas, Frank Sinatra.
I chose Frank Sinatra, but there's also, what's his name?
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
There's a lot there, but. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, do you want to give this one your artist specific choice for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
DMX, baby.
Art
forever.
who we be, by the way, is it's great. That's a classic.
Fuck yes. They don't know. That's playing in the background.
Yeah. Wait, we have not talked about GNX. Maybe we'll just have to wait on GNX. The new Ken, the K-Dot. But we'll... That's in the future.
It's going to be great. Well, yes, Kenneth, it will happen. Please stop emailing us.
Yeah, and you're getting more than you bargained for, Kenneth, for this. So we are set for our 10.
Yep. Those are the 10.
The first pick.
He does.
We're going to pick our 5, and then we're going to leave it to you. And if you all do this to me again, if you do not choose me again, you several people who voted last time.
Tons, yeah.
I swear. I don't know what I'm going to do, but my number one pick, you're a mean one, Grinch.
Damn.
That is, I was just talking to my wife about how classic this song is.
It's great. And when I put this on the list, I was like, he's going to choose it. He's going to choose this damn song.
It is. It's so great. And it's, we're going to talk today about like the kind of integration of songwriting within that narrative, right? The musical specific. Mm-hmm. I don't consider The Grinch to be a musical. I don't think anybody does.
Same.
But when it comes to like building a character like through song like that, it's perfect. It's
What's that line he has about the alligator?
Oh yeah, or given the choice between the two, I'll take the boom boom seasick crocodile.
It's so fucking cool. Damn it.
It's witty. It is. It's like really good songwriting. Mm-hmm. I love the rhythm of it, the way it all just kind of, it slinks. Slinks just like he slinks the whole. Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. It fits the cartoon so well.
Yeah, it is. It's the kind of perfect, like there's, if you're trying to find a shade of Christmas song, I don't think any Christmas song fits the spot that one does. It is kind of antagonizing. It's a little dark, but it's also, it's fantastic. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I kind of bummed out. I was hoping I could sneak that one in later, but good work, Colton.
Give me one, buddy. All right, this is your number one pick, Rob. You're on the board. Clock is going.
I got to go Donde Está Santa Claus. I mean, come on, Mamacita. Donde está Santa Claus? Fucking just cool as fuck. And it was just so rare. Like, it was so different to hear on the radio. And it still play on 101.1, you know, back when we were kids.
Yeah.
Just like that. It taught me a little Spanish.
I was going to say, you know, the first time I heard the song was eighth grade Spanish class. My Spanish teacher, Mr. Dunn, brought in a little toy or something that played it, and I didn't even know that song existed. And now it's like it's great.
It's wonderful. It's out of these 10, even over You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, this is my favorite song.
Was that going to be your number one?
It was going to be my number one. I couldn't let that one go.
And the toys that he will bring. That's a nice little... I mean, this always gets me to think. I think we had this conversation last year. Like, what makes a good Christmas song? And I think with this selection, I have no idea. Because they're all so different.
What? That's just called being eclectic.
It is... I know it's the idea that we all have holiday memories. That these songs just kind of latch themselves to. And that seems to be the way that Christmas songs get to be Christmas songs, is like,
of course, yes,
the nostalgia of it, because the quality of Christmas media on the whole, relatively low.
Yeah, we didn't really establish what our opinions were last year, and I still haven't. It's the time of year. It's the time of year to not give a shit about.
That's
whether
true.
Or not that song is amazing.
This is very much like vacation, Colton. Remember when I was on vacation and I was just super into like, I love everything. Everything's great.
Yep.
This last trip, I was in Santa Clarita for 3 days and I found myself listening to music again. Shaboozy, weirdly, is my vacation guy.
Well, first of all, you like Shaboozy regardless.
You have no idea. And by the way, Robbed, we're talking about everyone's like kind of criticizing the GMCs or the Great American Country Awards for blocking out Beyonce. Shaboozy had like, he has like the number one record of the year, something insane like that. Nothing.
I have no idea why he would have been shunned from the GMC.
That's shocking. Okay. All right. my second pick. I'm kind of vamping because I really have to think about this for a second. No, I don't actually think I do. I want a nice mix. I think last year I didn't get as nice a mix as I wanted.
I agree.
I started with a little bit of playfulness. I got to go for the soul. I'll be home for Christmas.
All right.
Pick number two.
Yeah. By who?
I'll go with Frank.
I'll go Frankie.
Yeah.
Nothing. I listen to the Frank and I listen to the Ben, and it's Frank Sinatra wins.
It's one of those, the kind of melancholia of certain Christmas songs where it is, you know, it's like about being with loved ones, but it's also sometimes about wanting to be with loved ones. Mm-hmm. And it's like that kind of a vibe. This song has a kind of a deeper note to me than a lot of those Christmas-like ones. It's got a resonance to it.
As a child who may have had some people in my life that just like, will they be home for Christmas? Will they not be home for Christmas? There's something to this song. It's so heartwarming to her. It's just that I will be home for Christmas. It just that line is good enough to warm my soul and go like, oh, those are the good memories of Christmas.
And it's a good melody. I mean, classic Christmas songs, definitely the melodies are the key, I think. And this is a great one.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And I got to say, Zachary Taylor Thomas, I'll Be Home for Christmas. It's a terrible movie. I just need to say that. Anywho, it's a bad movie, everybody. Anywho.
Well, I am going for my Hispanic brethren, Feliz Navidad.
This is interesting. This is a battle of the languages that I wasn't expecting.
That's a really good song, and honestly, on the English portion of it is the hook. You know that I wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. Like, who's not dancing right now? If you know the song and you just heard me hum that, what Colton just did. Your head starts nodding. It's such a good, like, dancey number. And I don't know. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
I'll say this, and this is like looking at what's left also on the board still. I'm still going to stick with your mean one, Mr. Grinch, as being, to me, the best written of this collection. But Feliz Navidad is a close number two.
Yeah.
It's a well-written song. It's good.
Yeah. And it's what you want from a Christmas song, you know. Feliz Navidad. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Feliz Navidad. That's the best I can do to defend it, is Colton and I both nod our heads the second we start singing anything from it. And it's just, it's cool. And again, yep, I'm going with a Hispanic flavor here. I like it.
All right. So I have on the six left on the board, I'm already having some issues here. I'm thinking of well-roundedness, and I think with those things in mind, two of these inhabit the same basic space.
Oh no. Okay.
And I think I got to do Run Rudolph Run.
Okay, good.
Chuck Berry. Oh, good. Interesting that that's not the one I just think there are two like rock edge like songs left.
Okay.
They give you a little bit of that Christmas cheer.
We're talking Chuck Berry. Yeah, fucking, it's great, but it's the exact same as every Chuck Berry song.
This is where I have to say something. As a person who enjoys, you know, I love the history of things. Like old rock, like we talked about this with like kind of older kind of like rock songs of that ilk, like in the like 50s. Some of that stuff is a rough listen for me, man. It's all very like, it's just the way that it evolves. I get it, but
it's just, there's nothing different. And I mean, I love you, Chuck Berry, wherever you are. But I mean, like you have, what is it? Run Rudolph Run.
Go
Johnny Be Good.
Yeah.
And there's another one that I'm not thinking of right now, but they all sound essentially the same. It's essentially the exact same. That's blues. That's rock. Like for the most part, there's a template that you kind of build over. But I mean, go get them.
It would be false of me to be like, oh, Chuck Berry, classic. It's just not in my like wheelhouse. I just don't have it, but I think it's a good addition to my team. So welcome, Chuck Berry. Welcome
and,
to Coles.
And the Ding-a-ling song is amazing. I don't know if you're familiar, but it's amazing.
That's the guitar is
playing in the background right now.
God bless it. That's right. I'm already kind of, I don't know why I picked that. Now I feel bad, but I already did it. It's young. So
I'm actually really nervous because I have three in particular that I want.
Shocking. Okay.
I have to go with I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
That is. To. Can I ask why?
Because it's so fun. Come on. The rhinoceroses. All I want for Christmas is hippopotamuses.
And hippopotamuses love me too. No, I don't know, man. It, that song drives me crazy. It's just the voice of it and everything. I don't know. It drives me nuts.
It fits within my theme. All right, this is how I view it. Because, like, first song, kids singing. Second song, I'm sticking with the Hispanic flavor. Mm-hmm. And then I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I'm going with kids again. This is just for you, actually.
So are you doing, like, kid, Spanish? Like, I don't know what your mix is.
I don't know either.
This is like picking two kickers, like, at the beginning of the draft. I don't get it.
I think two quarterbacks, but...
That's fair. No, you're right. Okay. I feel like you just gifted me something. But go ahead.
I think maybe I did, but I couldn't leave that one out. I really love that song. It's so fun. It's the... Oh, fuck. Yeah, sure. Go get them.
No. Wait.
No, I don't know.
Just so everybody knows, what's happening is on the whiteboard app setup, I've double-clicked a potential choice.
Okay.
And Rob decided to automatically tell me it was a great choice. Now, and I haven't officially made any choice.
I like your choice.
So I could just move around if I wanted to. Here's what I think you want.
Okay.
And I'm seeing your poker face.
I'm doing a poker face. I'm not going to tell him what I want.
I feel like this is left on the board. I am taking Little Saint Nick by the Beach Boys.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Okay. That's fair. Little Saint Nick. Here's the thing. I don't feel strongly about these last two choices other than they're there. I don't know. What is your, we've not talked about the Beach Boys like at all.
I think Pet Sounds is an amazing album. Mm-hmm. I think, what is it? The like School Spirit song is good, which is not off Pet Sounds. But for the most part, yeah, the Beach Boys are fine.
You see, I feel the same. I feel like the Beach Boys, when I think of like Pet Sounds, it's all to me far more about the experimentation, the arrangements, the production of it. I don't know if I buy that. I think Brian Wilson is this like extraordinary songwriter.
I'm so glad you bring it. Like him just happening to be in bed for what 50 years, you know, and they're just like, oh, that just shows the genius of him. It's like, yeah, but it doesn't really come through in the music that much.
No, I think I often hear Beach Boys songs as like it's allowing the production to fill in a lot of gaps where the music and the lyrics especially and the arrangements that it just, I don't know. Again, it feels disingenuous for me to be like, well, it's the Beach Boys. And here I am, the last two picks I've chosen. I'm just like, I'm not
talking
super
shit enthused about them.
But you know what? Not bad.
Well, and some to add on to the Beach Boys is like, for the most part, they really didn't play their instruments. They were kind of a boy band from the time, you know, and Little Saint Nick, it is a fun song, so it's perfect for Christmas. But yeah, you're gonna lose this one. Let's see here.
I think this now goes back to who had the better batch of Christmas songs. I think you can already kind of get my vibe. I don't know, Rob. You know, pick four for you.
All right, artist specific: Carol of the Bells, Mr. Mackey. Mr. Mackey, sing it to us. It's in the background. Hark, hear the bells, sweet silver bells, all seem to say ding-dong-kay. It's just wonderful. That is my favorite Christmas special, hands down, is Mr. Henke's Christmas special.
I've always
the movie we're about the movie we're about to talk about has to go second.
That's funny. Yeah. What's the Woodlands Critters Christmas? Or man,
that one's really good.
That's my go to for South Park. Has got to be
it's
Hail it's, Satan.
Yeah, Hail Satan.
The Antichrist is born. That's good.
They're all
that's
so
my
adorable. Yeah, I had to go specifically for anybody voting. You can listen to what? Who's the other one? The rock one.
Oh, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Yeah, that's not the one I'm talking about, everybody. I am specific. I'm going to be as specific as I possibly can on this one. It is the Mr. Mackey one. If you vote for me, you're voting for South Park.
You see, you're stumping already. I don't like this. I think whatever you're considering, anyone, when you see that, when I see it, I think of that Trans-Siberian one, and I've never liked that. That's always bugged the hell out of me. It's you know what it is? It's very Meatloaf, and I love Meatloaf, but it's very like Jim Steinman Meatloaf.
He's talking about the artist, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. It's like that huge, big, obnoxious 80s, like, it's all, I don't know, it's too much for me.
And yet you listen to Mr. Mackey sing it, and it's fucking comforting. It's wonderful.
It's I don't know why the impression of that first one is just on me. And like
ding
whenever
dong, ding dong.
I think I'm also thinking of like Home Alone. Is it Home Alone 2 where they sing Carol of the Bells?
Yes.
What a creepy, also just a creepy song. I
first
don't
all,
like it. Creepy.
Honestly, Kevin McAllister has turned into a horror figure for me. Like he's creepy. He ate mac and cheese with a knife.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah. There's a lot of, well,
there's much more, but beyond that, but that's like your starting off point there.
I know. I was kind of waiting for more. I was like, that's fine, man. Yeah, I will. Oh, right.
No, gross. Nobody eats mac and cheese with a knife.
I can't deal with the creepiness of that song. I want you to have it. I'm giving it to you. I know you chose it, but also
specifically
Merry Christmas,
South Park.
That's fine. Anyone, when you see it, anybody allow whatever version you think of to immediately come to mind. Don't think of South Park.
I'm really nervous. Do you notice that number one and number 10 are left on the board?
I do. Yeah. So wait, now here's my problem. Do I think that these are the two worst songs of this batch? Do you think so? Honestly?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think we both have tried to choose different groups. I think we have some steals. We have a Brock Purdy-esque choice.
There you go. Mr. Irrelevant, right?
I have to choose Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Damn, you
but I am not choosing the DMX version. I am choosing the Willie Nelson version mixed in with the comical cowboy version, which is Randolph the Peg-Legged Cowboy. Which my dad's friend, Michael Blackwell, taught us when we were little. And
I love it.
It is. Have you heard that before?
I have, but is there anywhere I could, I'm hoping I can put that in the
honestly, background. I've never heard it anywhere. He taught it to us when I was little, and I've always just thought it was Randolph the Peg Legged Cowboy had a very shiny gun. I don't know. And again, and what was it like, Randolph with your gun so bright, won't you shoot my wife tonight? Anywho, I gotta choose Rudolph, everybody.
I'm so mad.
Not a great song for an 8-year-old to learn, but you know what? I thought it was so funny, and I've always loved it since. And I think that's when I see the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I think of that song.
Well, you know what? It is your choice, but we're not escaping the DMX version. That shit is playing in the background. Forever.
I wish it wasn't, but that is not what I chose, everybody. For the record, it is not the DMX version.
I thought you were going to go, all right. I thought you were going to go with Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. I thought I planned this just right. I actually used Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree as like a diversion.
That was the smoke screen.
I put it first on all of the songs, just going like, Colton, bite.
You're a smart fish. I don't want
to
step over you too much. I'll just say, Rockin' Around Christmas Tree, that to me is like the go-to like Christmas movie, like what's playing in the opening credits, like when you have like the scene in the mall, it's always Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Yeah, of course it is. And I thought you were going to bite.
I didn't
buy it. But you know what? In my defense, that song is amazing. And I think very worthy of voting on my behalf.
So here's what we got, everybody. Again, I don't like the weird stump speech you've been doing this whole time around. I think what's happening is you're campaigning just as Rob to everyone saying, let's put one over on Colton. Your songs are irrelevant. I'm going for the power of the songs. I'm here for the people. I'm telling people, you know what? You don't have to trust me. You don't have to like me. But the songs I've chosen are ones you will enjoy.
Yeah, see, and I'm like, I'm the candidate that you would want to have a beer with. Okay. Let's have a beer. Listen to these five songs.
Let's have a beer. Let's have another beer tomorrow. Not as much as the previous beer. Yeah, it will continue. I'm all into bubbly, man. Bubbly is my go-to now.
All right. So
I'm Colton trying to get a bubbly sponsorship.
Colton has a really good one to start us off. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
That is my one. My two is I'll Be Home for Christmas, yep. Mr. Frankie Sinatra. Run, Rudolph, run. Chuck Berry. Talk
shit about Chuck Berry.
My three and four, I'm not wild about. Yep. Little Saint Nick, Beach Boys.
Talk shit about Beach Boys, yes.
But also, everybody, so did Rob in both cases.
Yeah, but it's not on my list.
But I do think these are good Christmas songs. I'm going to say one thing. I think the fact that the Beach Boys wrote such a charming Christmas song, I think says more about what I think of them as songwriters outside of Christmas, which is not great.
Not bad.
That's why they can write good Christmas songs. There you go. Right. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer by not the DMX
version. Willie Nelson. I just have to throw that out there. But yes, Willie Nelson, you're right. You're right.
But also DMX Forever, RIP. Big guy. Yeah. Love you, man. All right. Rob, go ahead and read us out your five.
All right. So again, I'm including everybody.
Just read the five. You don't have to do anything else.
No, I'm a politician right now.
You're not okay. Go ahead.
¿Dónde está Santa Claus? Feliz Navidad. First of all, I don't even have to say anything about the songs. I feel like I'm just talking to a broader audience than Colton is.
Okay.
I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. Carol of the Bells, Mr. Mackey. First of all, if you can't enjoy that, you can't enjoy life. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. That one kind of fell on me, but you know what? Everybody loves Home Alone. And, you know,
Do you know what your weakness is in this draft? You chose the narrative. You went for the narrative. I went to the combine. I like interviewed the parents' family.
Mm-hmm.
I went to their church. I talked to the pastor just to see what kind of guy they are. I'm in on the ground floor. I know what each of these picks means to me.
Yeah, he went to white churches. I'm Rob McGregor, and I approve this message.
Everybody, I think we're going to, when this gets posted, we will put this on our Instagram. We will.
Yes.
And the floodgates of votes will open. You tell us which you think is better.
That's right.
Of these two amazing.
I think I'm about to be 2-0. I've got to tell you, Colton, I think I'm about to be 2-0.
We have not decided what the loser is going to have to do, but I just want to remind everybody, the last time that I lost, you all had to hear me complain about Minus the Bear for over, which, by the way, that episode still gets people listening to it. Like randomly, someone will just listen to Minus the Bear. People, what are you doing? Stop it.
They love anything
else.
No, it's not Minus the Bear. It's you complaining. We all love listening to
you. And here's the scary thing is the other, you know, the other episode I always see people listening to.
Which one?
It's a shock.
Do you know
check,
it?
Saw it off. Check. Bandits of the, oh my God. What are they called?
Yeah.
Streetlight Manifesto.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Streetlight. Yes.
That's right. I couldn't think of the name of the band. Like that one weirdly gets listens like every week. Someone finds it.
It's a good, well, it's posted on Reddit.
There you go, everybody. Enjoy it.
Casey Crescenzo fucking ended that for us.
Thank you, Casey.
Now we don't post on Reddit because we're kind of intimidated by the artists we talk about.
I'm ready for Caroline Polachek to go up. We're gonna meet those people.
Yeah. Mr. Mackey, please do not respond to this episode.
So No, we're gonna get the Chuck Berry contingent.
This is a long opening segment. I think we have to go to commercial.
We're going to go to commercial. We're going to come back. We're going to dive into Muppet Christmas Carol, everybody.
And we'll see how it goes.
All right.
If you're looking for fun events, awesome music, and enjoyable podcasts, then look no further. The Baseball and Entertainment family has you covered. With so many talented people in our community, it was only right that we not only bring you events, but all sorts of awesome entertainment. Follow Baseball on social media or join our Discord community to stay updated and engaged in everything. That is at Baseball on social media and discord.gg/baseball for our Discord. Baseball Entertainment, bringing you more than just bass in your face.
Welcome to the Siren Songbook, a podcast where we discuss female artists, their music, their history, and the impact they've made on the music industry. Join us each month as we pick a new inspirational artist and celebrate exactly what it is that makes them so magical.
You can listen to new episodes of the Siren Songbook on Spotify every last Wednesday of the month. The Siren Songbook, a Baseball and Entertainment podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back.
Ho, motherfucking hoes.
I hurt. Easy, buddy.
Okay, I'm sorry.
God.
Not gender specific. Everybody can be a hoe.
Where did that even come from? We're about to talk about a Muppet Christmas
Carol. Who doesn't
think,
when you hear ho, 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 you don't hear fucking, your mind doesn't go to the gutter?
No.
Well, my bowling ball did yesterday.
Was that all set up about your kind terrible bowling score?
I have to share this. It's like I'm going to a priest right now. I want the world to know. I bowled a 37 yesterday.
Now let's wait. Let's wait for most of our listeners to look up what a 37 is.
How do you not? All of our listeners know that's a terrible score.
I don't bowl.
Every listener right now is just like, Rob, you suck.
Every time I've gone bowling, I've for the first like two times I've done it, I've thought it's the same thing with miniature golf. Like the first like 10 minutes, I'm like, this is great. This is fun. And then after that, like I look up and I go, oh, we still have like a whole series of things to do.
No, see, I'm competitive on this. My highest score, well, I'll keep this brief, but I just had to get it off my chest because it's been bothering me. My highest score is a 236, everybody. But I pulled 200 less than that yesterday.
Quite bad. What's wrong with you? You didn't try hard enough.
The ball just kept hooking right into the gutter.
Well, I don't know if anyone wants to keep listening to this, if you're upset by what's just happened, but I'm going to do my best to take us in the finish line from here on out.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said this, but I couldn't keep it in. It's still bothering me.
I'm sorry, man. There's always gonna. What are you gonna go next? Let's do a Rob bowling watch. What's your next bowling trip?
I'm in. As soon as possible because I cannot live with this. I have to go.
I want you to tell me immediately. We'll live. No, we won't. I ran out of steam halfway.
If it's below 37, I guarantee we won't talk about it.
There we go. So if you never hear from us again about bowling, everyone, one is you're welcome. And two, it
Rob
just means
Rob
himself. That's really just
Rob
falling into a pit.
Couldn't live with it. Yeah. All right. Here's the fun thing. We are going to talk about Muppet Christmas Carol, the best Christmas fucking movie ever.
So I gave this to you because we basically... This year, we're splitting the holidays. We're going to do one at my house, one at yours. Christmas is your space. I missed my chance to do Halloween because I'm stupid and I can't read a calendar. Tom Petty, though, you're welcome. Yeah. And which was not bad, by the way, I know. But
and you would bowl above 37.
Thank you, sir. This is your space. And I said, Rob, you pick what we're doing. I'm just along for the ride. I'm coming to your house. I'm sitting on your couch. You get all the stuff ready in the kitchen. You bring it out to me. And what you brought out was a Muppets Christmas Carol. Yep. Which one is, if you're all wondering, yes, it's a film. It's not a record, but it is a musical.
It's a musical, yes.
So it's more or less we're subsuming it into our field of vision here.
Oh, for sure. And it's the opening of the music, of the movie, is they have the overture, right? Which I don't know if you notice, but that overture kind of covers all the songs that are going to be featured in the movie. which he's already, already I view that as just like, this is good songwriting.
Like, well, I don't. That is like classic musical structure, though, right? The overture kind of, like, it's very, musicals are very thematic. They kind of hit off of like a lot of different melodies, but it's classic in that way.
Well, and how hard is that? To me, that seems very difficult. If I'm going to try to combine all of the songs, like if you and I wrote an album, it would take a lot for me.
By the way, we have.
Yes. But it would take a lot for me if I want to write this overture to begin everything, to just go like, here's a little sample of everything that's about to occur in this album. It'd be really hard to feed it all together.
See, I feel like people who have heard my albums have thought I did that. It's only because I use the same six chords.
Well, most of my I'm not trying to come after you.
They're like, wow, Colton, you're doing a great overture, the whole record. Well, yeah, that's
not a single person has ever said that.
Can we take a step back for a second? Because I am in with you talking about the music of this film. Why this film, though? You've said it multiple times now. This to you is the greatest Christmas movie ever. I need to hear it from you. What is it? Sell me on A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
All right. Your wife's not listening, right? Because she talked to me.
I can assure you she is not.
Yeah. I think that A Christmas Carol is the best Christmas story.
Okay.
Like, I sincerely believe in the idea of somebody being a curmudgeon and having to deal with, like, reflecting on the past, reflecting on the present, reflecting on the future.
Yeah.
I think all of that is very poetic. And then you throw in Kermit, Gonzo, Rizzo the Rat. I will not say Miss Piggy because...
Did my wife talk you out of Miss Piggy?
She hates Miss Piggy. I really need to... You know what, Casey?
We don't have to air her laundry on this. But
no, she thinks Miss Piggy is a sexual predator.
Inappropriate is what
she's not necessarily wrong. But
it's Pepe Le Pew energy is what we landed on.
Yes. Yeah. But the Muppets, dude, it's so fun. Like, what I want out of watching a Christmas film, and especially, have you ever seen, like, the original Christmas Carols?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm about to talk to you about my journey with A Christmas Carol as a narrative, but I've seen a lot of Christmas Carols.
Yeah. Charles Dickens wasn't going, like, fun Christmas.
Yeah.
He was going dark. And the Muppets balance it, where it's like, okay, I can get a dark story with a bunch of puppets being kind of silly.
They're MO, right? Now, is this your favorite Muppets film?
No.
What is it, and why is it Muppets Take Manhattan?
It's not. It's not.
I just love the peoples. Peoples is peoples.
Fuck yeah.
Peoples. Yeah. Pickles is peoples.
Believe it or not, Treasure Island is actually my favorite Muppets film.
Oh, okay.
And I really can't say it enough. I love the Muppets. I love them. I think I said last episode that I need to get a tattoo. And last night I thought I was going to. I saw a tattoo parlor and went like, all right, it's time.
What is the move? What tattoo is it?
The Jim Henson signature.
Fascinating. Yeah. Okay. I got to
my sister is listening right now, and she's probably like, that's a good tattoo.
That's it. Do it. Go for it. I support you. You don't need my support, but I support you. I
do need your support.
I think I know your tattoo already. I'm not going to name it, but I could identify your body if I had to.
Well, you love Godzilla. I love the Muppets.
That's right. And so
Colton has a Godzilla tattoo, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome, everyone. Yeah. I have to unpack this for you because there's different layers to how I entered into this film. There is the Jim Henson layer, which is, I don't think I'm a huge Henson guy. Like, I'm like, in terms of puppetry, right, as an art form, I support it. Like, I am in on it because this is like, it's also my attraction to like the horror genre, to just film in general.
Yeah.
Like, when you watch films now from like the 70s and the 80s and just see all the like handmade effects and things that go into, it's the same reason why I love stop motion animation. Like, I'll always have time for stop motion. It is such a painstaking process, but there's so much craft that goes into it.
Yeah.
And I have never really, really dug computer animation. Like, it's such a bummer to me for the most part.
And it is painstaking. You know, it's not like it's.
But it's a more boring version of painstaking.
I kind of agree. Like, I think it's a little less hands-on. I don't even know if that's the right term. It just feels like there's a little less humanity in it.
I there's a great documentary. I want to get the title real quick.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a great documentary that came out in 2023 called Pencils versus Pixels. And it's all about
the name already.
Yeah. It's great. And it's all about the transition in the industry from hand-drawn animation to computer animation. And to its credit, the documentary is not about like just crapping on like pixel, like computer animated artists and that. It's really interesting because it is about how you see that shift from around like Pixar and Toy Story. And I mean, it's cheaper, right? It's just cheaper animation on the whole. And you start to see how the way the industry turns, like there's just not a lot of hand-drawn animation. I know it feels like I'm off topic, but to me, puppetry is in that, right? Like when I watch like Labyrinth or The Dark Crystal, which still scares me, everything about The Dark, I appreciate that those movies exist and that they were allowed to exist. And I want those things back. Like, there's something charming about this film, A Muppet Christmas Carol, because of exactly that. The, like, everything about that puppetry to me is so great. So I'm a Jim Henson supporter. I am not like, it would be, again, I feel like I'm using this word a lot, disingenuous, say I'm like a huge Muppets guy. On the Muppets.
We're all kind of anchored on the inevitable butt that's coming from you.
It's those two things, though, I'm more or less in. Muppets, I love the slightly more like anarchic Muppets. I like the Muppet Show. I think they're better when they're agents of chaos. So I'm a fan of that version of them. Well,
they're agents of chaos in this.
There's some, but I
light the lamp, not the rat. Light the lamp, not the lamp.
Rizzo is good in this.
Hell yeah! Thing.
I have seen so many versions of A Christmas Carol at this point. I don't think I can watch that narrative again. I am in on the anti-capitalist narrative of A Christmas Carol. I mean, that's Dickens too. Hard Times, which is one of my favorite. I'm not a huge Dickens guy, but I do like Dickens. Hard Times is great. Great Expectations is always a banger. Tale of Two Cities. I know we've had a small Dickens discourse before this.
I tried with Great Expectations. That is just way too long and senseless.
Read Hard Times, everybody. I don't think I have to tell you all to read Tale of Two Cities, but it's beautiful. Read Tale of Two Cities.
His sentences run on so long.
I think it's early versions
another
of like,
comma and another comma, or it's like complete the statement, dude.
I don't know what to tell you, but anywho, I also appreciate the narrative that landlords should not exist because that as an occupation is insane and we should eradicate the idea of landlords. Full stop. That's is that a podcast opinion or should I just claim it as a cult opinion?
I mean, yeah, I just want to own my land. So yes, I don't want a landlord.
I think the idea of landlords is so terrible. And that as an occupation is insane that it's allowed to happen.
However, if I had to choose, I would take Michael Caine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Michael Caine seems like the person, not necessarily the character.
Notwithstanding anything in the movie, it's a hard sell for me to get into A Christmas Carol because I have seen play versions. I have seen Disney Mickey Mouse version. I've seen this version, of course, when I was younger.
I'm so glad you brought the Mickey Mouse one is great.
It is. May be my one. I've seen the Jim Carrey, Robert Zemeckis version. I have seen all the various BBC versions. Like there is so much of this. And I don't know. Do you have any other versions of A Christmas Carol that are just like in your psyche?
There's a black and white one that I can think of to where when Marley visits, he has the bandage wrapped around from his jaw up to his head.
But I could kind of get that.
I don't remember what it is, but I mean, I just think the actual overall storytelling in it, and like I said, fuck Great Expectations, way too many commas.
Wait, so who is it that we have like collectively criticized this episode? Chuck Berry, Beach Boys,
yep.
Charles Dickens. Wait, we keep a list. Sorry, everybody.
Colton Saylor.
Colton, yeah, several times. That's fine. Yeah. Not a problem.
But overall, I think the story is great, and I can't help but nerd out on this, dude. The Muppets are fun. And they do such a good job from a let's get into the music here.
Okay, let's do it. Track list.
Yeah, their musical stylings are great. Like when it hits that song to where we're all getting introduced to Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah, Scrooge, by the way, everybody. I got the track list here if you want to follow along.
Yeah. So it's like when a cold wind blows, it chills you to the bone.
Yep.
There's like a moment to where they hit that little it's a choir singer. He must be so lonely. He must be so sad. Mm-hmm. You know, and they like it takes a moment, and they're like they're trying to have this like really earnest moment of like maybe he's not a terrible dude. And they go like, there must be a sweet man inside. And he walks past, doesn't give him any tidings. And they go like, nah. Like that's great musical writing, and that's one moment where I'm like, that's funny. It creates a little chuckle out of the audience, which you and I are not. We're not writing something to make somebody chuckle, you know. But it's like even in that song when they go to the vegetables singing it, that's an imagination to like when you're writing the song to go like, hey, I'm writing this part for a bunch of puppet vegetables. I think that's really unique and a kind of specialty for a songwriter to have. I don't think I would have been able to create from that perspective.
I believe and this is where like the power of the Muppets rises in the characters. And you talking about it, like I knew this was happening already, but you're captivating to hear talk about the Muppets. Like I'm in.
Love them.
I love when it hits the chorus and it goes into the major. It's a nice, mm-hmm. like the kind of like the friction of the verses in that minor. It's like, da, 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 da. Very dramatic, right? It's got like shades.
Mr. Humbug.
There goes Mr. Yeah. And that is like a kind of bouncing. Like, I actually think this is one of the stronger of this collection of songs. We're not doing like a traditional, I don't think, ranking. We could, but.
Yeah, I don't think we're doing a ranking. We may rank the movie.
Yeah, but it's not quite my favorite, but it's one of the stronger ones, I think. Mm. And it's a great opener. It really is. There are some lines that make me laugh just because it's also just kind of...
Supposed to?
No, not necessarily. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so,
shit.
Like, I love, like... So they're like, if they give a prize for being mean, the winner would be him. That's pretty clever. I like that. And sure. Then the next line... Oh, Scrooge loves his money because he thinks it gives him power. Like, talk about, like, just saying the quiet part out loud. Like, by the way, all the subtext we built in the song, here's just text. Here's just what we think of this character.
They're staying true to the story. You know, like, they're staying true to what the character is supposed to be within it. This is why Gonzo is amazing in the movie.
Well, this is a separate conversation, but Gonzo, to me, is MVP of this film.
He's
the best part of it. Like, this is what it makes the movie Muppets to me, and not just Christmas Carol.
I think you asked me before we recorded who my favorite Muppet was,
mm-hmm.
and you were like, oh, it could be either this movie specific or just the Muppets in general.
And what did you say, by the way? I said it needs to be movie specific.
Yeah,
nice try. And I said
it doesn't matter. I have a choice.
I love you. It's not what you said.
What did I say?
I said it's got to be movie specific, and you said, "Okay, I'm not going to do movie specific. I'm just going to say my favorite."
Okay, my emphasis was supposed to be that it can be either it could either be this movie specific or Muppet specific.
That's fine. Gonzo, but it's Gonzo.
Yeah, Gonzo's the best fucking Muppet, hands down.
Can I say the one Muppet that doesn't get enough love in this? Ralph. Ralph was
I think he played piano at one point. That's kind of it.
And yeah. Fozzie Bear, too. I think
Fozzie's cool.
I don't know if I have enough of like a favorite Muppet. It's probably Kermit, but...
It's funny you bring this up, actually, because it's another thing I love about the movie. Could you imagine being part of the writing staff? and just going like, okay, we're doing Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. How do we assign our already established Muppets
to these characters?
To these characters. Like, how do we go like, okay, you play this character, you play this character.
I would not have chosen Fozzie Bear for the, what is it, Big Wig?
Whatever. The Fozzie. Well, it's the Fozzie Wig. Because what is it? In the original, it's the Fuzzy Wig, right?
Fuzzy Wig, that's right. I guess that kind of does it, but yeah. I don't know if I would have. It wasn't the first one in my mind. Maybe.
I'm very surprised that they brought in Michael Caine. Like I can, I feel like I could assign a Muppet to Scrooge.
I do appreciate what Michael Caine has said about being in this film, which is he's like, the minute I was cast, he's like, I'm going to play Mr. Scrooge as like as straight as possible. He's like, mm-hmm. I'm aiming for this being like Shakespearean. I want it to be built for like a BBC special on air. Yeah. I don't want it to feel like I'm acting with Muppets. And I think to his credit, I mean, obviously he knows more about acting than I ever will, but it goes extremely well for that reason. If he's not all in like he is in this movie, yeah. It doesn't work as well.
Yeah. He's not as playful with the character.
Oh, at all. Yeah. Yeah.
It's wonderful. It's what the Muppets do, man. Like they, what? Who's another? Tim Curry was in Muppets Treasure Island.
Right.
And he doesn't play it goofball. You know, he plays it like this is a serious thespian role.
Yeah.
And that's how great the Muppets are to me. To where it's like the Muppets can be around a well-trained actor, an actor who's taking this role very serious, and it still functions properly. I mean, it of course it's going to be a little silly, but that's what's so great about it. Like I, even when Michael Caine runs into the Ghost of Christmas Past,
the creepiest ghost, by the way.
I'm saying, like they handle it perfectly. To where I'm like, that's the type of ghost you need to give the movie some sort of artistic credibility. Mm. You know, because she is like CGI as fuck. Bless you.
Yeah, thank
you. She's really
everyone. CGI.
Yeah, God bless us, everyone. Tiny Tim.
But I mean, she's not. Well, I don't think she's CGI. She's a puppet.
No, I don't think she's a puppet.
She is a puppet, dude.
Look her up.
Okay. Like I don't know what you need to look up.
Do it. The Ghost of Christmas.
What are we betting?
Firstborns. We're betting our firstborn child's.
Okay.
So a gentleman's bet.
Puppet or CGI. The puppet used for Ghost of Christmas Past was put on a rod submerged in a tank filled with baby oil. It was an actual puppet, not CGI.
Doesn't look like a puppet to me, but all right.
When you look at it close up, it definitely, I think when I was younger, I assumed it was some kind of CGI deal.
All right, you can have my firstborn. Regardless, it's like you said, it's a creepy character to where it's like, it just has this, like, it doesn't have the Muppets essence to it.
Agreed. And the Ghost of Christmas Future also, like, they play those two relatively straight.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's kind of an issue? Wouldn't you rather? I would rather some of that. This is like Colton being a jerk and talking, like, trying to deep dive with.
Colton as usual.
Gonzo is so funny in this movie. I want more of that energy. Like Gonzo and Rizzo kind of take the movie for me. Like they're MVP.
Easy. Yeah, easy. The stars of the show.
MJ, Scottie Pippen, they're doing it. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking Kobe and Shaq, but that's fine.
That's fine. I think the. Like everything else playing as straight as it is, I forget I'm watching a Muppet Christmas Carol. I'm like, oh, I'm watching Christmas Carol, and that's where I don't want to be.
See, I'm on the different perspective on this because I love that moment to where Gonzo and Rizzo are like, hey, we'll see you on the other side, guys.
We'll see you at the finale.
Yeah, I think that's so Muppets humor, but also allowing the story to be truly told. Because it gives the value to the character Scrooge, like to where it's like this is too scary for us. Like we're not Muppeting anymore. Like
right.
He has to confront his mortality. He has this to confront real. How bad he's been as a human being. And I'm just like I love that as a sincere moment. And the Muppets actually do that more often than I think a lot of people realize. There are just those moments of like, we're done being silly. We're still telling a story. And the best stories have highs and lows, peaks and valleys.
Man, and you sold this for me way more than I was expecting.
I love the Muppets, dude.
And I went on the record. I'm in it with you. I like this movie, but yeah. It's funny to watch it expressly with the idea we're going to talk about it. And
I had no idea what to expect. Yeah.
It's a weird thing to like, be like, oh, how do I feel about this puppetry use? Like, I don't know, like all of them, why I'm getting certain reactions. I will say this, if I'm thinking musically.
Okay.
Yeah. So we talked about Scrooge. We have One More Sleep Till Christmas is the next kind of bigger piece.
Right? Warms my heart. I literally, at the end of every weekend, I go like, there's only one more sleep till I have to go to work.
Do you do that every week?
Pretty much. Yeah, that song really pops in my head year round.
See, I feel like the chips are stacked against me here. You have so much love. Like, none of my cynicism has any chance against all the love you're bringing to this episode.
Bring it on, motherfucker.
I got nothing. Like, it's fine. I think it's fine. It's not, like, I have what was likely a more controversial opinion later on. But I think this one is pretty good. I'm actually starting to realize, I think probably Scrooge is my number one. I think I misled you. That's fair. I'm looking at the list.
Favorite song, yeah,
your it best might song. Have to be. I just think that too many songs slot into the same vibe to me, where One More Sleep Till Christmas to me really starts to feel like Bless Us All.
It's essentially, yeah, they're essentially the same. They're actually like music motifs that they're fitting into,
right? Okay, yeah. That makes me feel less crazy. That makes sense.
Oh, but, well, I didn't. Then I that wasn't my intention.
What where are you at with Marley and Marley? Because I love these two characters.
I think,
that wasn't half bad. That was all bad. Oh.
What I was talking about before, to where it's like, how difficult is it to like assign these classic Muppet characters to the specific Charles Dickens role? I love the fact that they just turned Marley into two Marleys, and it has to be the two old grumpy men.
And oh yeah, Statler and Waldorf, right?
Yeah.
They are, for the record, I only know that because I'm looking at the Wikipedia page. I don't want to I don't have that knowledge.
I'm a Muppets nerd and I couldn't remember the name. So,
but this to me is what I like, to have them play it and to be, I mean, they're just crotchety kind of, you know, whatever humor. I enjoy it, but yeah, that's what they're I want for
it's
all
two
of them.
Colton Sailors.
Really are. Yeah. They really are. I just think the fact that everything is played so straight for like the main bulk of the film, and then you have these two playing the Marley character. To me, that's like more of what I wanted from everything. They're hilarious, but
and it is the best song. To me, that is the best song.
Are you like me when I was little? Like genuinely, like the scene where they pop up is like frightening.
That moment when they it's like the side camera angle. I'm getting into cinematography here.
Yeah, yeah.
But that little, like, to where they pop up, like, it's Scrooge from a side profile, and they do that, doom, Scrooge, you're doomed for all time. When they both freaking pop right in front of his face, yeah, that moment always stuck with me. So I was like, I'm going to be nice.
It's the, like, when they're, like, the head turns from the doorknob, which I've never, you know what's funny? I've never read the Dickens Christmas Carol text. But I imagine that must be in there, because also in the Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yes, but you're right.
Goofy, yeah. Another great
for
Marley
some reason
character.
The knocker. Yeah, for some reason that knocker morphs like as he walks up to the door and it turns into Marley.
Listeners, can you tell us whether or not that happens in the actual Christmas Carol text at no.your.writes@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you want to email Charles Dickens about this, it would be no, whatever you might possibly know, comma, about this particular subject, comma, your, comma.
No,
maybe
this is great.
This is your rights, comma, I've never heard of podcasts at comma
Gmail, hearing comma, you and my wife this morning both just rip into Charles Dickens. I had a, like, out of body experience. I was like, where are we? What's happening?
He really just drags out those sentences.
Wow. Okay. Moving
on. It's aggravating. I'm sorry.
Moving on. And I'm not like, oh, I don't. Okay. Moving. So
sorry, Charlie.
So your
legacy is standing.
We have a few things here. I actually think, and this is also weirdly anachronistic to me, but Fozziwig's party with Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, that like ragtime jazzy piece, that probably is number one. I think that's why I initially said Scrooge wasn't, is because that
because of the drum solo.
No, it's just, it's what I like. I like jazz, I like ragtime. It's totally out of place there. Makes no sense. Jazz isn't even a thing until the late 19th century. But
it's totally because of the drum solo.
I'm not an animal guy. I don't like animal.
Fuck
you. I find them weird.
I'm sorry. First of all, Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem is the only Muppet shirt I have, and it's for a reason.
That's good.
That's the best rock. It's the Beatles and then Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Who are you? What's happening?
Robbie Bear.
I'm Robbie Bear, man. I told you, this is my, I love it. I mean, it's, again, I don't know. It's just, it's a good tune, man. It's very, very good.
Well, it's fitting you said it's kind of a jazzy number because that's what we're doing right now. But yes, that's a cool moment. Yes, when he goes back in time and it's just like, he's like, oh yes, I'm, you know, he's there like back at the old fucking, I can't remember the name of the company. And it's just like, yeah, he's there and he's seeing the fun that everybody's having. But I hate to break this to you, dude. The best part of that song, it's the drum solo. It's Muppets 101. You can't have Animal sitting at the drums. I love the puppetry behind it because, like, somehow you can just almost see it on his face that he's bored, you know, and all of a sudden he's just like, all right, yeah. And it's like the drum solo comes in. I'm like, that's classic Muppets. It's fun. It's one of those, it's actually what I love about the Muppets in general. Adults can watch it and children can watch it in one sitting. It's what I'm sure we love it about a lot of classic cartoons. I think that's a hell of an art form. Like, that is something very hard to do, to where you can have the father sit down with the young daughter, to where it's like, we can't watch anything inappropriate, but we both have to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I get from the Muppets.
Well, so this is where I have to check in with you, because I haven't heard yet what to you was your, like, go-to favorite. We only have a couple left. When Love Is Gone is technically not... Did you watch the When Love Is Gone version? This is because it was a song that was written for the film,
yeah.
Taken out because... what I can't remember. Was it Disney at that point, or Disney didn't own the Muppets? I don't know.
I'm not sure, but Molly, I got your back. I hate watching any version that doesn't have that song.
And I, weirdly enough, I remember in the VHS version, it had it. So I think that's where they put it back in, right?
I think so. Molly was telling me, my sister, everybody, mm-hmm. She was telling me that it's like, I think we had like an extended version DVD or whatever, but her and I, it's like the go-to. I don't know if it's her favorite Christmas movie, but it's hands down mine, but she will always bring that up. Where she's like, The Love Is Gone is not on the fucking theatrical release. And I'm like, yeah, that's a shame, because I think it's a beautiful moment. I think it's a real fucking moment. It's a non-Muppets moment.
Yeah, I appreciate that it sets up when love is found, which is nice towards the end. I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't like that song.
If you don't like it,
I'd have cut it.
Well, you know what? Then you know what? You're looking a lot more Jim Henson-y to me right now.
I would have cut it.
I think it's pretty, but I could see how it kind of fits out of it. But I just think that song is kind of an establishment for the character of Ebenezer Scrooge. It establishes why he's such a dick, you know, why he's so cold hearted and like something broke his spirit. And this was like the beginning of it. To be fair, I do not buy that she was in love with him.
Well, because, and also, did I miss something? Why did they break up? Like, what does she say? She says something like, oh, I don't think you ever loved me at all. Like, what is the thing? Is it that he's too in the business?
Yeah. Just, it's money.
Quote unquote, too much into.
Yeah, like that dude just has his main focus is money and everybody else can kick rocks.
That's okay. I felt like I missed something at that point because he says something like, oh, it's for you. I'm making money for you. And she says, no, you're not. So it's like a weird, we don't understand what it is he's doing. Like he's not making any kind of major choice.
She's the thing he loves, but his mind setting is so accountant like that he's just like, well, this is what I'm going to do and you'll be comfortable and we can hang out and presumably fuck. You know, this is my like very, very narrow sided viewpoint on love is that it's mostly for intercourse. And so he Colton, could you just laugh really quick? I just needed like a little bit of an audible laugh there. But yes, I think his character is like this is the last thing that he actually loves. And once she goes away, he goes full fledged into like, all right, well, I can still keep making money.
I get it. I agree that we don't need it because it's a nice brisk pace.
And I think just the conversation we just had sans some of my inappropriate humor is kind of why it doesn't feel like it fits. Like, because you don't really get a full understanding of what's going on with that relationship.
And that love story is maybe 5 minutes
yeah.
of the film.
Yeah.
It's tricky for me.
It's supposed to show the human side of Scrooge.
I'll say this. I think the Ghost of Christmas Present, best ghost of the film.
Oh, he's wonderful.
And he's very good.
I would cuddle with that dude.
He's very good. I think that whole scene to me is the movie. Like, that's to me, the past, I always got really bored and creeped out when I was little about them going to the past. The future is creepy. The Ghost of Christmas Present, it's the best ghost of Christmas Carol.
I'm so happy you said that, because I was concerned that you were going to say that it doesn't make sense that Scrooge does such a quick turnaround, because he does a really quick turnaround. Like, all of a sudden, Scrooge goes from being this curmudgeon being like, you know what, actually I do kind of like life, I do kind of like people.
I'm not prepared to criticize the structure of A Christmas Carol because I just can't. It's too ubiquitous, it's too out there
for it's me very do, but... campy, so it, there's going to be elements of like really real integrity that are going to kind of be left out, but I still think you can apply the just how joyous and jovial and what's the word I'm looking for? The word's coming back. What is it? Where you like you contagious? Like the spirit of that spirit is very contagious. So that's how I always took it to where like Scrooge all of a sudden does this like damn near 180. You know, and it's like it's because of how happy and fun and just infectious the Ghost of Christmas Presence. He just has that. He has that thing to turn people around where it's like, yeah, how are you going to be sad around this dude? Like I said, I'd cuddle with him.
Come in and know me better, man. Yeah. It's where I think the film hits its peak for me. I don't know. What is your vibe on It Feels Like Christmas?
Oh, that song's great.
He's got a very Chris Christopherson, RIP, kind of... I can get it. It's not him, by the way, Chris Christopherson. But that's what it reminds me of. When he hits that.
He has a lot of, like, when it comes to the singing that's applied to the song, there's more personality than vocal skill. You know, it's like when he says a statement, he says the statement. He doesn't sing the statement. He is conveying the emotion as, you know, it's like, it's in the giving of a gift to another. You know, like, he's saying it more than singing it, even though I just kind of sung it. But
I was gonna say you could be Ghost of Christmas Present. I would think I could actually in that.
But it's conversational lyrics more so than
and it gotta be kind of the centerpiece of the film, right? I mean, it kind of comes up. Is that the kind of the main single you think they're pushing?
I would say that that's at least the peak of the film. That's the height of the film, and everything is going to start settling after that scene.
It also feels to be the most kind of traditional Christmas song. Like, you could take it out of the Muppets Carol and it would make sense. I guess.
I mean, what a cool gesture. It's true wherever you find love. It feels like Christmas. And you got those big fucking dum dum. It feels like Christmas.
I feel like I'm on drugs right now. I'm just watching you say this song.
I can't help it, dude. That's such an amazing moment. Like, and it's such a very well-written song is the best way I could put it. Because it drags it home in the best way. It's just like, let's bring it home, everybody. And that's the moment.
I think...
maybe that is my favorite song.
I think it has to be. I don't think you've sang any of the others with as much ferocity and joy as you sang that.
Well, because that song's joyous, but I mean, I love fucking, again, Marley and Marley.
We haven't dived into Bless Us All, though we have already kind of mentioned it. And then really, to be honest, the only thing, Thankful Heart, I guess, the Kane.
Oh, yeah, the coming around of Scrooge. That's a great, I've always loved that moment. In all of the Scrooge, all of the fucking Christmas carols I've seen.
Is there a version of Christmas Carol that you are not partial to? Is it just any version of Christmas Carol you're in on? Like, yes, give me that.
Can I include one?
Of course, yeah.
Okay. And this is not, like, there's no that I'm like, oh, it sucks, whatever, fuck it.
That's fine.
But you know the second best Christmas Carol? Scrooged.
I knew you were going to say that.
You don't like Scrooged.
I don't like Bill Murray. I've been on record of this. Yeah, I find him unpleasant. Also, he was rude to Lucy Liu, who my girl Lou. Like, she's.
Well, I'm sorry I brought that up. But Scrooge is a very good movie.
I was literally about to tell you that I didn't like Scrooge.
You were about to be like, "Do not bring that up."
Like,
dude.
Do you have the least favorite? I know that I do. Like, I think It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The
oh yeah,
where they try to do it to Frank. That to me is, that's got to be the best. That whole special is amazing.
it's incredible. All right, you just hit another spot of my heart I didn't think was exposed right now.
I'm opening up all sorts of wounds, everybody. Yeah. I here's the thing. This song, there's a joy to this production that I'm swept into. I think. I am even more joyful hearing you talk about A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
How happy I am when I think of this
movie. I have not seen this movie in quite some time. I think the last time I watched it, I was quite possibly a child.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I watched it in my 20s. I'm 36 now. I watched it with a lot of cynicism this morning, and I didn't have a great time. But
you're 36? I thought you were 37.
I have to think about that. I think I'm 36.
I think you're 37.
I really would love to be 36. Am I not?
Oh, no. I think you are 36. Okay. You're right.
Can we please keep me at 36? But talking to you now, it's just like anything else. I'm looking at my collection of five songs here. I think Christmas has to be about transporting yourself back to being a child. That has to be the season, I think.
It's kind of embarrassing what you were just saying, because I'm going like, I watch Muppet's Christmas Carol probably 3 times every Christmas.
I mean, there's no shame here. I watch just, House of a Thousand Corpses every Halloween, and that is my go-to comfort.
That sounds cooler, I think, to most people.
I don't think so. I think people who've seen that film would also say, weird, don't do that. So
that's fair. All right, that's fine.
You watching a lighthearted film about becoming a better person versus a one where it cuts off a dad's face and puts it on himself as a costume and then parades in front of the daughter before he sends her down a well to be eaten by a satanic zombie.
Holden, I mean this dead seriously. Do you think there's any chance that we could convince the Jim Henson family to create a fucking Muppets horror film?
I mean, didn't they do Haunted House or something?
I'm saying horror film. Like, at some point, Gonzo's face gets ripped off. freaking Miss Piggy really goes too far with
the
Kermit.
The reason I'll say no is that I think they already have, and it's called The Dark Crystal. And that film scares me to no end. I can't even look at it. I mean, I was little.
You're not wrong, but
frightened of the Dark Crystal, like, protagonist.
I'm just saying, if we can convince, like, because I'm thinking character specific. I'm not talking about, like, puppets. I'm talking about, like, Kermit has to be involved.
The only way Gonzo I know how to approach this, ask me what horror film would I love to watch if it was made with only puppets. I think
Muppets.
You're right.
Okay. The first one that pops into my head is why can't I remember the name of the fucking? It's the franchise.
Would be Saw. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, Saw. Like, could you imagine just like it's like Fozzie and Ralph?
I feel like Robot Chicken has made a version of this. Like, don't you think it has?
Yeah.
If they haven't, they're missing out.
I'm not gonna lie. I'm just trying to look for some sort of cash cow. I'm tired of working. I just want to find something.
I don't think us writing a like crackpot letter to the Henson Company going, you should make Saw with Muppets. I don't think that's our way.
What
to
is a horror film? A slasher film with the Muppets? Unbelievable.
Well, I'll say
Can you
this.
Imagine like one of them gets their like throat cut and like just like fucking cloth comes out, but it's red.
Are you okay? You're good.
I think I'm okay.
I feel like I did this to you. Like, you were in such a good space, and then I pushed you over the edge, and you're just like, now I'm just talking about like.
This is why I don't like Halloween.
We're safe, buddy. We're in Christmas. I'm sorry. Okay. I pushed
back to Christmas. Back to Christmas.
I'm really, really sorry. I want to thank you for teaching me a lesson. You've thawed this Scrooge's heart. You also went dark there for a second, that was the Ghost of Christmas Future. You went dark and you scared me because I was like, this is where I'm headed.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to be the one talking about like Muppet.
Like, I hate you. Film. You are so on to me. God bless you.
It is. I need to push myself away from this. I need to be a better person. I need to enjoy Christmas.
I was sincerely trying to do the stages of fucking the ghosts.
And you did. And it's. And
all right. Good.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Funny. And now it's time for you to sing that last song.
Which I know by heart. Clearly. Yeah. I could start to make it up, but I don't think I will. Are we ready to go on break and then come back? And then what are we rating this out of?
2,000.
Rating it out of 2,000.
From 0 to 2,000. This was your idea. I said 1,000 and you decided to one-up me.
I said, why not be even more ridiculous?
That's right.
Than that ridiculous idea. So
when it comes to our ratings, it's 1 to 10 when multiple albums, 0 to 5 for one album, for one song it's 0 to 100, and for a movie it's 0 to 2,000. Why not?
All right. Well, Leo, someone, anyone,
please
take us away.
When it comes to making the goings-on of the world entertaining, we got you covered. The Chit Show is a news, pop culture, geek culture, and music podcast hosted by none other than Danny, a.k.a. Danko, and me, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute. Tune in as we cover all sorts of topics with a very opinionated and wild twist. The Chit Show Podcast, where chit chat and shit shows come together for your entertainment. Tune in on your favorite streaming platforms with new episodes dropping every other Monday. Again, that's The Chit Show, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast. What happens when you get a bunch of obsessive music lovers sitting around a table and talking about every aspect in music? You get the Untitled Mixtape. Join Danko, Lewis, and Lorenzo in this educational but enjoyable podcast that encourages everyone to branch out and expand what they listen to. From deep dives to letting you know what is a bop or flop, the Untitled Mixtape boys are sure to take care of your music needs every Wednesday on your favorite podcast platform. The Untitled Mixtape, a Baseblown Entertainment podcast.
All right. Well, I won the Christmas draft, and I also won this conversation.
Nothing supports that. We have not. The results are not out, everybody. Nothing has been decided.
Kulturabis, I won this Christmas draft.
Okay, that's fine. That's everyone. We know from when you're listening to this, either it's already been decided, in which case it very well could just be me. Likely is me. Or Robis is trying to get everybody to not vote, which I find to be abhorrent.
I'm really trying to be like assertive, you know, speak it into existence.
Do I even bother to ask you what your rating of this film is out of 2000?
I'm really going to upset some past guests. 1,995.
What's out of the 2000. Five?
What's the five? Just trying to be impartial.
It's the worst thing you've ever done to me. I don't know what to say. I really, this whole time I was waiting for you, I should have actually been thinking of a number. I don't have.
If it's below 1,000.
I am, and honest to God, I don't find Christmas movies to be good. Like, I can't think of a Christmas movie where I think, oh, it's great. But I do like watching Christmas movies.
A Christmas Story, fucking, that's not good to you?
Not good.
Well, okay, I was about to say Scrooge, sorry.
Like, are they good films?
Well, you got to kind of suspend. It's what
that's what this I always
good.
Have to do.
This is right? good. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. When I'm thinking objectively, I can't think of a Christmas film where I'm like, okay, there are some, like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Shane Black, Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer. Shane Black famously does all of his films set during Christmas. Is it a Christmas film? Hard to say. Well, set during Christmas. I love it. It's a really great movie.
But you're looking the cinema of it all.
I'm not, right? I don't like watch and go, oh, yeah. But it's hard for me to watch some of these films and think of like the quality of it. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, I don't got like a...
This is very funny. We talked about this last year. What makes a Christmas song good? And I think we both agreed that it's the time of year.
Yeah, it has to be.
I'm not going to listen to I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, like in March. You're like, oh, that song is great. My initial reaction would be like, no, turn it off.
It's hardly that good during Christmas.
That song is amazing. I'm just bringing it back, everybody. But it does fit into what you're saying. To where, like, when it comes to like a Christmas film, the only thing that's going to make it good is the time frame you watch it.
It is like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation is probably the closest. I have to watch it every year. Yeah. Like, it's my Christmas is here. It's like, I can't watch it until all my grading is done. I know I'm on break. I'm ready to relax. I watch it and it's funny every time to me. I laugh every time. It's deeply cynical. And that is me to a T. Arthur Christmas. I get down to some Arthur Christmas. Little CGI, stupid military industrial complex version of Santa, the Santa Claus. Like, I like Christmas movies, but this is all me vamping to say, I guess 1,500 out of 2,000. Done.
God bless you. That means
nothing. I'm sorry. I subjected everyone to what just happened.
What does that translate to? Out of 10.
I don't know.
7.5.
I wouldn't overthink it.
I think it's 7.5.
I just thought if I did 1,000 out of 2,000, our friendship is over. And I like our friendship. Our friendship means a lot to me. It is my Christmas gift every year is our friendship. That's real.
You could do better. Oh, wait, you did. You gave me the Arctic Monkeys vinyl. All right, you did. And also, I love Casey. You know what, Colton, you are the gift that keeps on giving.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, man. This was very lovely. I like talking to you about anything, but Christmas especially.
I hope we jazzed it up for you guys because we had no idea how this was going to go. And I think it went okay.
It went about as it always goes, I guess. But
that's right.
We do have end of our second calendar year of being a podcast next episode. That is our New Year's Eve special.
And I can't remember. I
got all the stops for us. I got all the stops. I'm almost hesitant to the special guest has confirmed. It was I was driving home. I was in the back seat. It was during our 8-hour trip. From Santa Clarita to San Jose, which should not take 8 hours. It was a nightmare.
I'm so sorry that you had to do that.
And in me just waiting, I was like, I'm just going to book a special guest for New Year's. And so I texted up this person. They were nearby. I thought of them. We had a very lovely conversation, which I'm hoping we can put onto the the podcast when they come around about a recent release that we were both very passionate about. I'm going to let you guess the guest because I think Alex. You already know it is Alex. It's Alex.
Oh, I'm so
birthday
happy.
Birthday dad. Our Alex first guest Pettietta. Of this podcast, and he's going to come and help us out with a very special album that I think is a nice New Year's Eve focus. You know this album. I think I told you, but you
I think
you
did too, but I can't remember.
We're going to have a very spirited conversation about if one of the key tracks on this album is a holiday song or not.
Oh, shit. Is it Death Cab?
This is Death Cab for Cutie, and the album is?
Transatlanticism?
Transatlanticism. That's right.
I'm in.
It is the new year, everybody.
So this is the new year.
That is just a very quick preview. What I am hoping to talk to you both about is that a holiday song? And then does that mean that I automatically dislike it? We'll have to see.
Okay. I'm just going to quick preview everybody. It is. It is a New Year's song. You have to play it every New Year's.
This is Jet Black New Year all over again. It's going to be another ding on our friendship, but we're going to do the best we can.
I love Death Cab. I love Transatlanticism, but more so than that, I love Alex. I'm so glad that you hooked this up. This is going to be great.
You know, I have my little Rolodex of all my songwriter friends.
What did I say before? You are the gift that keeps on giving.
Giving you other people and not me. I've noticed that. Right. Buddy. All right. Well, that's going to be lovely.
Giving of a gift to another.
Everybody, we'll see you next time. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Should all acquaintance.
That's New Year's. That's fine.
Well, yeah, that's the next episode.
Cole. Oh, so you're safe.